Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. In the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2:19 through 22, so then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. This weekend, 6 p.m., Riverfront Park at the Pavilion, Sean Foyt and Let Us Worship here in Spokane, Washington. We are going to light Spokane on fire for Jesus Christ. And I'm just so excited to have him here. And so many people are already responding online. If you haven't made plans to be there, you should be there. 6 p.m. Sunday evening, right downtown Spokane, Riverfront Park. Entry fee is zero. It's free. This is a time to fellowship. We're going to have baptisms. We're going to see people set free, people healed. We're going to see people baptized. It is going to be awesome as we bring the word of the Lord right to the heart of Spokane, Washington, and that transformative power of the Holy Spirit right here, right now. Well, from all accounts, what's happening in the world today, We are, needless to say, in interesting times. And so now from the Frontier Daily Intelligence Briefing, and I'm going to start with China. Now, I started to see a little bit of this from the intel networks here last week, but it came up prominently yesterday. So I want to talk about this. First coming to us from Forward Observer, China's largest state-owned companies announced delisting from the New York Stock Exchange. Okay, listen to this. The five largest state-backed companies in China announced their intention to delist from the New York Stock Exchange. These five companies represent more than $300 billion in market cap. And this announcement came after American regulators demanded full access to expand and inspect, financial records of the Chinese-based companies because they were concerned that the Chinese companies were dumping their losses on American investors. In other words, changing their books so that the losses were borne disproportionately on American investors. Well, of course, the Chinese are doing this kind of thing. This is part of unrestricted warfare. Two Chinese colonels wrote about it, fourth generation warfare. Everything is a battlefield. The financial markets are a battlefield. Trade is a battlefield. Manufacturing is a battlefield. Even pharmaceuticals are a battlefield, and in fact, the massive influx of fentanyl into the United States of America through the cartels in Mexico, many convincingly argue that this is coming directly from China. So the thing that kind of piqued my interest today was coming to us from Newsbreak. The writing is on the wall for Chimerica. Now, this is the idea of Americans who are making their wealth off of selling out to China. Okay, so the writing's on the wall for Chimerica on U.S. stock exchanges. At least $318 billion of Chinese equity flees Wall Street. So it's talking about this, but it's saying essentially that there are still Americans who are not understanding the threat that we are funding our mortal enemy, the Communist Party in China. So Travis is going to put this article up on the feed underneath the broadcast, so you can all read this for yourself. It's incredible sign that the Chinese, in fact, may be at D-minus 60, D-minus 90 for an invasion of Taiwan, because now they are essentially decoupling from America. Now, I heard this happen when we predicted almost to the day. Travis, you remember that? The Russian invasion of Ukraine. People kept saying Russia will never do this, will never do this. It's going to cost them too much money. They're never going to. They don't care. just like the Russians, the Chinese have written for years of their intent not only to invade Taiwan, but the strategic plans they've put out to eventually capture Australia and New Zealand and to defeat the United States of America in a direct conflict. You can read this, General Chiwatian's secret speech, Unrestricted Warfare. And you can also read this in Jin Kong Rong's speech, which we're going to get to here in just a second. So from Sam Faddis, who's doing a fantastic job at AN Magazine on this, the question was raised, is the FBI covering for Chinese attacks on our electoral system? Well, I want to, before I get to that part of it, Jin Kong Rong in 2016, so July 2016, he gave a speech on the, quote, Sino-U.S. strategic philosophy, end quote. And in that speech, he gave very detailed plans for how to attack the United States of America. This includes trade warfare, but it also includes attacking and attempting to manipulate U.S. electoral processes here. You heard that right. Manipulating U.S. elections. This is their speech. This is their words. Just like Vladimir Putin in 2005, 2013, and then again last July, very clearly laid out why he was going to invade Ukraine. And by the way, NATO was not mentioned in some of those speeches. What he was talking about is this idea of a resurgence of the Russian Empire. And these guys have been planning this stuff for 20 years. Well, the Chinese is the same thing. Chinese have been planning for even longer. Mao Zedong first articulated these ideas that the Chinese would begin to take over the entire world. I mean, 50 years ago. So we need to abide by the quote from Edmund Burke that says this: there is no safety for an honest man except by believing all possible evil of evil men. Now, most people have never even heard that quote, but it's fantastic. But then he continues and says, you have to act with promptitude. In other words, you have to act quickly to stop evil in its tracks. And so this idea that America could just kind of weather this, China's already declared war against us. They declared war against us in 2019. We're already at war. Just whether or not we recognize it's fifth generation warfare right now and fourth generation warfare right now, not necessarily kinetic warfare right now, although that seems to be the direction everything is headed. Now, I want to jump back here quickly to what Sam Faddis talked about, the FBI covering for Chinese attacks on our electoral system. So the same folks that uncovered the issues that gave rise to the movie 2000 Mules said this. I want to read this very quickly. So they created, and this is a company and the Chinese, okay, a system called Poll Chief. It bills itself as an election management system. But according to Engelbrecht and Phillips, and these are the people that brought you 2000 Mules, Poll Chief helps jurisdictions enroll and manage election workers. In the process, it requires the input of a tremendous amount of data. Well, based on the information that has been uncovered, all of that information is then stored on three servers, which physically reside in China. And as China is a totalitarian government, that means all the data is accessible to and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So this isn't the first time the allegations have been raised that the Chinese have been meddling inside U.S. elections. And, I mean, obviously, this is what the FBI should be investigating right now instead of raiding President Trump's home. This is what the FBI should be looking at. But then Sam Faddis brings up a second article that I want to comment on. It says, does the FBI answer to Xi Jinping? In other words, does the FBI answer to the Chinese Communists? And I want to mention this quickly. I have heard multiple times over the years from former FBI agents, some at the very top of the FBI, where they have said that the FBI needs to be completely dismantled and rebuilt from the ground up because of two main things: corruption and the infiltration of both jihadi and communist networks into the FBI to such an extent that it is essentially becoming weaponized. And this was years back here now, not based on everything happening now. This just corroborates what these people said. And these Patriots, once they left the FBI, began to advocate for reform and blow the whistle on some of the things that were going on and are going on today. So the question is, would we actually dismantle the FBI? Because it needs to happen. And I would say the same for reform across a lot of the intelligence community. And just from a military perspective, it just doesn't work. And in fact, in ways, it's built not to function properly and give information as quickly as possible to the guys on the ground that have to execute. So China's economy also appears to be collapsing. And there are several indicators of that as well. But primarily, the collapse inside of their banking system right now, where accounts, and this is coming to us from Zero Hedge, accounts in China totally frozen, people's assets gone, and a cascading effect from their housing market where debts can't be paid. And so it is creating a huge crisis for the average person. We'll see, but the fact is that if the economy is collapsing in China, the communist Chinese have said very clearly that they will go to war before lose power. So this is another reason why they would go to war when it seemingly wouldn't otherwise happen, because they don't have any other choice in their own mind to keep power. And one of the ways to get out of economic downturns is to go to war. All right. We're going to move next to Israel and Turkey restoring relations. Coming to us from Debka File, Israel and Turkey agreed on Wednesday to restore full diplomatic relations 4 years after the Israeli envoy was expelled from Ankara amid a long period of dissent. I just want to say this, that there needs to be an extraordinary amount of caution urged. As we've reported on this show before, the caliphate was abolished March 3rd, 1924. So we are very clearly watching the resurgence of the caliphate. And just because Israel has normalized relations does not translate into that there's somehow peace coming in the Middle East. And because they watch the date of March 3rd, because that's when the caliphate will be reestablished. And Erdogan is signaling this. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has effectively said he meets all the qualifications of a caliph. And then last year, Recep Erdogan turned the Hagia Sophia, which was a museum since 1923 when the caliphate was abolished. It was a museum. It was turned back into a mosque. Now, we don't understand the cultural implications of that, but a caliph could only be ordained in the Hagia Sophia as a mosque. So when Recep Erdogan turned it back into a mosque, he's signaling that he is the next caliph and he's going to be ordained there. So watch these dates and watch how things change. So just because Israel and Turkey have restored relations does not mean that things are going great in the Middle East. In fact, I would argue this is a signal that Recep Erdogan is intent on doing this very shortly. All right, we're going to move here to the National Front. Ex-CIA director, Republicans are the most dangerous political group ever. Ex-CIA director, Republicans are the most dangerous political group ever. This is WorldNet Daily. Now, to say something like that, Michael Hayden has to know that he studied warfare most of his life. He has to know that such divisive comments are only intended to try to break and undermine the fabric of unity in this country. He has to know that. So, again, a signal that we're in this short time frame because you see these undermining actions happening. In addition to that, as I reported on Tuesday, you have this crisis happening at the border through Chinese proxies in the Mexican cartels and all of a sudden unrest there. Now, watch to see if that unrest begins here in the United States of America here shortly, because that is, again, intent on undermining the United States, demoralizing people here in the United States, and making the United States weak prior to a third world war, whatever that even looks like. And that brings me to the next thing from the Western Journal. Republican senator sends letter straight to the FBI after whistleblowers warn of deeply rooted political infection. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa says the FBI follows the politics instead of the evidence because of pervasive political bias within the agency. So this is one more cue and corroboration of what we've just been talking about. Now, the Chinese plan for Taiwan. I want to talk about, again, timelines here. The Chinese have planned this for a long time, the reunification with Taiwan, but it doesn't stop at Taiwan. This is about the United States, about Australia and New Zealand. As soon as Joe Biden went into the White House, and it was shown the weak leadership, and I would even say the physically incapable leadership here in the United States, that we were weak, the Russians and the Chinese knew it was the time to strike. This would not have happened if President Trump was in office. So Joe Biden goes into the White House. The Chinese say, okay, we're going to kick up our timeline here, pick up our plans. So they only have a short window of time to do this. And they have to do this really before the election for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, their economic problems they have. Number two, their demographic problems they have. Number three, their supply chain problems they have. And I'll talk about that one here in a second. And number four, if the elections go the way they look, Chinese know they're going to be facing a resolute America that is regaining its strength. And so they don't want to have that happen. They've got to strike before then. I talk about supply chains. Now, these supply routes for the Chinese really are only three ways. Straits of Malacca, where they get most of their oil from the Middle East, the Silk Road, and then over the Himalayan mountains, where there's the line of actual control. It goes through the Kashmir region in northern India and down into Pakistan. Now, the Chinese have invested heavily in Lahore, Pakistan, a port there. They've invested heavily there, and they want to create an alternative supply route over the Himalayan mountains down to Lahore, Pakistan, because it bypasses the Straits of Malacca right there where Indonesia is. And the United States military is signaling some things here. We just did military exercises. Wow, that's awesome. We just did military exercises right there, the Straits of Malacca, with the Indonesian military. And we also are in the process of getting ready to do, and we're probably already doing them, military exercises about 100 kilometers from this line of actual control over the Himalayan mountains. So that signals that the American military understands the Chinese strategy here. But it also says to us, if we're doing military drills with India, we're doing military drills with Indonesia, if we're repositioning carrier groups right now, that the United States military has intelligence that they're expecting war. The North Koreans just today also said that they believe the South is going to invade the North, and therefore they have to prepare for this invasion of North Korea. Well, that's similar to what the Russians said, and use it as a pretext to move military units around. So couple things to watch for. First of all, the fact that the North Koreans have moved tactical nuclear weapons, according to one report, to frontline artillery units. The second is, watch them if they're moving command and control and they're moving hospital units and air defense units closer to the south. Third, watch to see if there are three or more U.S. and or allied carrier groups that move to the region of the South China Sea. That's a general indicator that we are getting ready for something to happen there. Which brings me to the next thing, and this also on the national front. The IRS, okay, everybody's been talking about this 87,000 IRS agents. Travis, would you ever be an IRS agent? No, you would never be. Who? 87,000 to go take and harass middle America, and take their hard-earned wealth based on petty regulation violations. This just tells me that there's something else going on here. Now, if we look at the Capitol Police being dispersed from Washington, D.C., we look at the attempted co-opting of local law enforcement through grants and through equipment distribution. We take a look at the attempt to consolidate law enforcement out of the local jurisdictions. And then we take a look at this, the IRS weaponizing. It looks like the creation of a paramilitary force. I mean, if I'm looking at this, I'm in a foreign country, like when I was in Iraq, I'd be evaluating things on the ground. This looks like the creation of a paramilitary force. But the 87,000 isn't just the full story. The rest of the story is that the IRS spent $20 million on equipment and ammo. Travis, did you just hear that? Not on computers and paper, but on military equipment and ammunition. And several elected officials at the federal level are saying, why? I think we kind of know the answer to that, but we need to call them on it. Lastly, on the national front, inflation spirals out of control. Federal Reserve officials saw little evidence last month that U.S. inflation is easing and predicted it would remain elevated for some time. So this is saying that the Fed is going to continue to hike interest rates, which is going to bring about more recession. It's going to have stagflation, so devaluation of the currency. At the same time, we have devaluation of assets. All we need to do is get out of the way of the American entrepreneur and open up the free market, and this all turns around literally overnight. Open up the oil drilling, the gas development, rare earth mineral development. Get out of the way of the American entrepreneur, and this turns around overnight. But if you were trying to weaken America, you would begin implementing draconian controls that you would couch in terms of environmental protection or monkeypox. I'm sorry, moneypox. Is it moneypox or monkeypox? We forgot about that. Or whatever else they try to come up with. Be prepared. Make sure you have enough food on hand for a couple of years. Get it now. Inflation is going to be with us for a while. Get it now. And if you need to read something on this, there's a great book called When Money Dies about the Weimar Republic. It gives you some ideas on how some people survived in that time and weathered the storm of inflation. That brings us now to the regional front. New indigenous revolutionary group forms in the Northwest, in the Pacific Northwest. Are you ready? The Ilahi Spirit Runners, according to Forward Observer, are a relatively new indigenous rights group in the Pacific Northwest, combining decolonization and, of course, communist revolutionary sentiment. The group claims action going back to 2013, but announced the group's existence in 2022. That's right here in our own backyard. All right, I'm going to go to a couple things very quickly back on the international front that I want to talk about, just so we're all on the same sheet of music here. The way things are headed right now, we're talking weeks for something really big to happen. Indo-Pac News, Taiwanese fighters did a show of force against the Chinese military. The housing bubble and market crisis in China posing a huge risk. Lisa Lin. Ukrainians upping, this is very interesting what's happening in Ukraine right now, upping their game with drone wars. We're seeing tanks now destroyed by very small, inexpensive drones. So, and communication towers. And I posted some of this up on Twitter just to show you the tactics and techniques that are being used in these parts of the world. But one interesting thing has happened. The Russian forces have inexplicably withdrawn from parts of Kherson down in the south. So this, to me, might be another cue that the Russians are pulling back, consolidating, and waiting for the Chinese to invade Taiwan and then invade again when the U.S. resources are split between two fronts. Also, I want to talk very quickly about this with Japan. Japan will begin to arm Aegis ships with long-range cruise missiles, per multiple reports. So we are seeing a continued, this coming to us from open source intelligence, We're seeing a continued militarization of Japan. So, what do we do? Glad you asked. This Sunday, 6 p.m., downtown Spokane, Riverfront Park, at the Pavilion, Sean Foyt and Let Us Worship here. It's been fantastic getting to know Sean. And we have an interview up with him and Pastor Rob McCoy, so check that out as soon as you can. But this is where it starts, unity in the body of Jesus Christ. And then we need to be moving to action, especially locally, praying for our leaders. We need to be involved in every sphere of our culture, media, arts and entertainment, government, business, and other areas so that we don't leave an area to darkness. When we don't show up as Christians, that's when darkness creeps in. And what pushes it back is our presence and being that lamp on the lampstand that God has called us to be. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to the real social media sites like Gab, MeWe, Getter, Parler, and there's a whole bunch of others. We're now on Clout Hub, Truth Social. So check them out, at Matt Shea or at Matt Shea 1 on Truth Social. And also, Patriot Radio is on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And if you want to support real news, you can support Epic Times with a subscription. So go to Epic Times, sign up, but you use the code Patriot Radio, and that promo code is going to give you a discount, and you're also supporting a good cause. So Patriot Radio, the promo code at Epic Times. All right, it's my pleasure to introduce Reverend Marty Grisham. He's the founder of Loudmouth Prayer, a movement of prayer ushering in revival. Marty has been breaking strongholds on the domestic mission field as a speaker in the Reawaken America Tour and as a messenger of the gospel, loudmouthprayer.org. Marty, it's great to have you on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing? There we go. All right. Marty, can you hear us now?
Good.
There we go.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor. It's good to meet you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's great to have you on. You have a great heart for not only America, but for making sure the church is being the church. So I just want to give you a couple minutes. Just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in the Reawaken America tour, and then we'll get into some other issues as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor. Well, so, so the Reawaken America tour, that's basically headed up by Clay Clark. And when Clay Clark and General Flynn, when they joined with each other, I was with Clay Clark. I've been with him for about 5 years now. He's been my business coach in a business. And I've been an ordained minister for over 15 years, close to 20 years, graduated Bible school, traveled with Kenneth E. Hagin. And so I have a great background in training and ministry. But the Lord put me with Clay to help me in business, obviously, because he's a great businessman. And he coaches up to 180 businesses all the time. But the other thing was the Lord also put me in Clay's life for me to be there for him. So from the office of a prophet, I prophetically had some words for Clay. One of the words kind of picked up where the Kim Clement word left off, where he said that there's a Donald and a Mr. Clark. Well, I had a word for Clay that picked up right there at the end of that Mr. Clark and went on to talk about what's going on today, how Clay was going to be a Mr. Clark that would start a spark that would travel the nation and cover the nation in the movement that we're seeing now. So I've had three or four different times where I've had specific words, some more private, about Clay and his wife, Vanessa, and their family. And so the Lord has used me as a ministry gift to be able to help him in doing some maneuvering and the challenging things that he's dealt with. And so it's been a blessing to me as well, because it's helped us start. You know, my wife and I started Loudmouth Prayer about a year and a half ago, after years and years of being in ministry, some, and then doing business much more. The Lord's moved us over more to ministry at this time. And so we're loving it.
I love your heart, particularly to be Spirit-led and to not just be sitting on the sidelines, but bring the fire of the Holy Spirit into the very heart of darkness. That just resonates with me. That's what we're about here at On Fire Ministries, that we shouldn't be afraid of moves of the Holy Spirit. So go ahead.
Well, so basically, so we started loudmouth prayer, and it had a really, sometime when I had more time, I would share how loudmouth prayer started. But really, our main objective, which my wife and I were always just seeking the Lord, being led by the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So if we're a son of God, we should literally be able to, by faith, by grace, just hook up with the Holy Spirit and be led by Him and the things that are in front of us, the things we're supposed to be doing. We shouldn't be wrapped up in confusion. I mean, I can see confusion for 3 or 4 days, but we begin to fellowship with Him and He'll begin to lead us. And then Romans 8:14 said, being led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:16 says, for He bears witness with our spirit. So He's actually dealing with us and showing us how He leads us, not with our head, not with this old body, but He leads us by the Spirit. Because Romans 8:16 says, for He bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God and a joint heir with Him. So with that, we've learned for 20, 25 years how to just fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we know His voice. And I was with a pastor the other day, and I told him, I said, Pastor, the same Spirit of God that led me for 20 years to not go into full-time ministry is the exact same Spirit of God that showed up a year and a half and said, now it's time for you to launch into full-time ministry. Because to sit still and do nothing was the seal, was the same strong, powerful voice of God that led us into ministry, begin to do things. And so I tell you, Pastor, I'm so appreciative of what you guys are doing and where you're located in the nation, such a vital part of the world of this nation right now. You know, I was speaking, had a prayer meeting in Frisco or the San Antonio Reawakened. I was doing a prayer meeting at the end of one of those events, and I saw the rain begin to fall in the state of Washington and around Spokane and around Seattle. And I saw the rain, and the Lord said to me, the same natural rain that oftentimes hits that part of the country, He is going to pour out the latter rain, and it is going to focus on the state of Washington. And it's going to hit the state of Washington and go south and go east and begin to cover that whole half of the nation. So I've seen the latter rain that you've been praying for, Pastor. I've seen the latter rain that you guys are having prayer meetings over, that you're standing on the word. I've seen that revival come into your state.
Amen. We receive that right now. And I don't know if you know or not, but we are at the Healing Rooms, John G. Lake's legacy here. We are literally at the Healing Rooms in downtown Spokane. And that, yeah. I receive that. That is powerful. And I think that too often we're getting caught up in all of these extraneous details when the solution really is Jesus Christ and allowing Holy Spirit to move. Absolutely. And not being afraid of Holy Spirit moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, as we individuals, you know, when you mentioned unity a while ago, it so touched my heart because the Lord spoke to me one time. This was in the last year. He said, you'll not see unity in the body of Christ. Now, I'll go on to say that I am called to the office of a prophet first and the office of a teacher second. Now, I know about the office of a prophet, and I don't say, hey, I'm Prophet Marty. No, I'm Reverend Marty, or I'm just good old Marty. You know, I just make it simple, you know, but I know my office and I know what it does. And I know when Lord shows me something is specific that helps the body of Christ. My call now is not necessarily as much to nations as it is our nation, as it is the body of Christ helping them get into place. And so as the Lord speaks to us, He spoke to me and said, you'll not see unity in the body of Christ, Pastor, until you see unity in the ministry gifts, all five of those working together in unity. Because there's something the evangelist brings to the table that the pastor, the teacher, the prophet just can't duplicate, just can't produce on his own. There's something the apostle brings to the table when those five work together that the body of Christ needs that no one else can duplicate. There is a going and a starting and an exploding a new work the apostle can do that no one else can do. There is something that the pastor brings to the table that the others just absolutely can't touch. But when all five of these, the prophet and the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle, the teacher, when they come together, they are coming together at a level to train the body of Christ. Many, many people are confused about this. They think these five ministry gifts are supposed to go out and do all 100% of the work of the ministry. But when you read Ephesians 4, when you read the whole chapter, starting around verse 2, where it says, those of you who have what you're called to do, that thing you're called to do, you begin to develop it in lowliness and meekness. You begin to love and prefer one another. And then it goes down and it talks about the unity. There is one God, one body. There's one Lord. And then it goes down to verse 11. And then you have these five ministry gifts. And then it goes down and talks about what those ministry gifts do. The five of them work together as one to train the body of Christ. Here we go. That the body of Christ will do the work of the ministry. Brings them, edifies them, perfects the saints that they will do. And it literally says to do the work of the ministry. And so that's a mindset we've got to get straight in the body of Christ. They're sitting back, twiddling their thumbs. You want to know why they're sleepy, Pastor? Because they've been told by so many people they're not supposed to do anything.
That's right.
They can just sit back and watch the pastor, a prophet, apostle, teacher. They can sit back and watch them do all the work of the ministry. No, body of Christ, it's your job. Those ministry gifts, like you and I, Pastor, we train them. We disciple them. We lay hands on them. We impart to them. We separate them like Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. We send them out into our city. We give $10,000 to an evangelist in a tent where he can get people saved to build our church. We grab the prophet. We spend prayer time with the prophet and seeking the heart of the Lord for the city. We spend time with an apostle to start another church in the city next door. We spend time with the teacher to pull from the divine revelation that God, where he wants to open up the word of God to grow and mature the body of Christ. And you got me excited, Pastor.
Yeah, I love it. And build it up. And exactly for this time. This isn't, I think there's a lot of people that thought, oh, I should have been born in the, 1775. I should have been born back. No, God chose you for right now, for this exact moment in time, and not just to sit on the sidelines, but to become his body. And that's where the unity comes from. We start operating in the spirit like that. There is nothing that is going to stop this move of God. This is the great harvest. This is the harvest we've been waiting for. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the prophets and the apostles long to see.
Absolutely, Pastor. And I'm with you 100%.
And it can be just Matt, too. Okay, Marty, it can just be Matt, too. We're simple here, too.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
So, Matt, the one thing I want to share with you, which I know you're absolutely is going to touch your heart, is from that office, that seer, that revelatory office I sit from, or I stand in, or whatever you want to call. I'm a pretty plain spoken, guy. From that place, I'm sitting in my living room a few months ago, and the Holy Spirit moved on me and said, I want you to study strongholds. Now, you're going to love this story. And so I literally jump up off the couch and I run to my computer I'm sitting in front of now. And I began to research and study strongholds. I knew the scripture he's talking about there in 1 Corinthians, or is it 2 Corinthians 4:10 or whatever it is. I go and I study what it says about strongholds, pulling down those strongholds. And I come out to find to see that the stronghold is talking about a mindset, a line of thinking, a way to think. It's not just a demonic power up in the heavenlies, but it is a mindset that actually there's kind of like, I say, spewed down, kind of spewed out and down from above to the body of Christ or to anybody for them to think a certain way. And the Lord showed me that a stronghold is always a twisting and a perverting of how God thinks and says something. So if God says something, Satan will twist it and pervert it, and it will become a stronghold, a wrong mindset for the people in the earth. So after I got done studying that and found and really was dead set on that stronghold, the Lord took me in a vision. And in the vision, I saw the throne of Satan. And as I stood before the throne of Satan, out of the base of the throne of Satan came a big mass. And it came out like a big package and it shot down to the earth. And Pastor, when it shot down to the earth, the Holy Spirit said, that's a stronghold that Christians need to stay out of politics. What do you think about that, Pastor?
That's exactly right. It is a stronghold. And then that is what is, people are so upset about politics because it's dirty. Well, that's because we're not there.
And I want to shake all of them and look in the eyes and say, listen, the very mindset from the throne of Satan is what you're spewing out of your mouth against the body of Christ. Please wake up. I did a video a while back about the baby church. Wake up, baby church. We need you to wake up. We want to shake you and wake you up because you've got to go to work You're sitting there twiddling your thumbs. You're just asking for the ministry gifts to do everything. They are supposed to help you, encourage you, train you, equip you, and send you that you will take your city, you will take your street, you'll take your business, you'll take your nation back.
You will take your nation back. And one of the other strongholds, I want to kind of segue this into one of the other strongholds that I've heard even just recently from pastors here in this area, traditionally conservative area, but pastors here in this area saying, Reawaken America is just a secret white nationalist event that is bent on ushering in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And, you know, then on and on. You've heard it before. On and on from there, right?
Wow.
It's amazing.
If it's such a secret, Matt, then why does everybody know about it?
Right,
I just got back from Batavia, New York, and the pastors and the news media there was spewing the exact same thing out. So it doesn't sound like much of a secret to show how ignorant that line of thinking is, number one. And number two, the New York Attorney General literally sent a letter to General Flynn and Clay Clark right before we had that event in Batavia, New York, and basically told them the same thing, that you guys are stirring up racism. So Clay Clark gets a dark-skinned lawyer lady to get up and read the note to the crowd and begin to say, hey, we're going to stand up for the truth. This is absolutely untrue. You know, one-third to one-half of the speakers at the tour literally are African-American. You know, so it's kind of hard to believe that there's a bunch of white supremacists.
Right, but this is battle of narratives and ideas right now. And the fact that they're becoming bolder, smearing Christians and trying to freeze Christians and paralyze Christians into inaction, I think shows the time that we're in right now, that there is something that's just around the corner, it feels like, it's imminent right now. And we can't give up right now. Right now is the time to push forward.
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor. About six or seven months ago, maybe even longer, I always try to come up with a length of time. I'm never good at it. Matt, I had a 28-minute prophecy. And I have to tell you, I love joking and having humor. And so my joke about this prophecy is I actually laid down in bed and I felt the spirit of prophecy move upon me. And I reached over and hit my phone and hit record on my recorder. So it was the first and only time I ever got to lay down for 28 minutes and actually prophesy laying in bed. I got to tell you, Matt, it's the most wonderful thing to lay down and prophesy. If I had my choice, I'd do it every time. Now, that's obviously my joke about it. But a 28-minute prophecy, and the Lord talked to me about the city of Tulsa, where I live, because we have a call to help this city, and then Little Rock, Seattle. He's talked to me about Seattle, Detroit, and other cities. And so we're looking at and developing those things. But the Lord began to talk to me about the pastors and some of the ministers and the churches in the city of Tulsa. He talked to me that first, and then the Lord moved over in that 28-minute prophecy. He began to talk to me about 3 hours of the church. I think you'll find these very interesting, Matt. The first hour, he said, is the hour of corrections. Mm-hmm. And then the second hour, he said, is the hour of prompting adjustments. And then the third hour, he called the hour of divine placements. Mm-hmm. Plural, placements. Now, this was actually probably about a year, year and a half ago when this happened, so my timing's off. But because the hour of corrections ended around December, because I was actually at a Clay Clark conference on December the 9th in Frisco, Texas, and I'm praying for one of the speakers, laying hands on them before they go speak up on the stage. And as I laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit says the hour of prompting adjustment starts right now. So it was the end of the hour of corrections. Now, real quickly, the hour of corrections, Matt, was the Lord moving on the body of Christ and trying to show them where they're wrong, moving on nations, moving on pastors, moving on ministry gifts, moving on marriages, moving on educational systems. It's God moving in the earth, showing all the things that are wrong. And if you look at the time frame with COVID, the vaccine and everything, it worked perfectly in correlation with that. And then that come to an end December the 9th of last year. And then it started the hour of prompting adjustments. And that's where the Lord began to prompt all of those corrections, the things he showed us that was wrong. He began to prompt all of us, nations, leaders, began to prompt me in my personal life. I'm walking down the hall of my home, which is a very short hall. I'm walking down the hall and the Holy Spirit moved on me because I had a thought that was wrong. He moved on me and almost shook me. I literally stopped and said, Holy Spirit, you've never been so strong with me about a thought like that. He's like, you're in the hour of me bringing corrections and prompting you to make the right adjustments. I'm going to move on you stronger now than I ever have in my life. Mm-hmm. And if people who are walking with God, they'll confirm with you, which I'm sure you do, and you'll confirm there's been so much that God has called us to change the things that have been off, to make directional changes. And he's just prompting us to make adjustments. I don't know when this hour that we're in right now, I think we're about in the middle of the hour of prompting adjustments, but then somewhere near the end of this year or months later, we'll begin the end of that hour and we'll begin the hour of divine placements. And what the Lord said was, those that saw the corrections, those that heard my prompting and did the adjustments are going to move on to that third hour, and I will move them in that hour of divine placements to the place they're supposed to be. He said, there'll be some people that won't be able to fly overseas, but I will translate them. I will get them where they're supposed to be in that hour of divine placements, no matter what man says, no matter what government says, because I'm going to put those that obeyed me and heard me exactly where they're supposed to be.
Reverend Marty Grisham, he's the founder of Loudmouth Prayer here on Patriot Radio today. He's also a speaker on the Reawaken America Tour, coming here to Spokane, Washington, September 16 and 17. Marty, I just want to continue on this line of thought that right now is the hour. Right now is the hour. This is the time.
Yeah.
And we really saw correction in the church with COVID. I mean, we really did see that. You got to know who was who. When the chips are down, you can't fake it anymore. You can't just talk about it. You actually have to stand up. And we really saw character revealed during that time frame. Now, as I am experiencing exactly what you're just talking about, there is this correction that is happening in the sense, in the promptitude of change, in the sense of, hey, that way you've been thinking about things all your life is wrong. You need to start declaring and proclaiming my truths, my reality in heaven, right here on earth, and releasing it here on earth. It's really an hour of vision. God is releasing vision, the correct vision, and we're coming into alignment with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, because you had mentioned earlier about the healing rooms. So under Kenneth E. Hagin at his ministry here, Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I actually for 5 years was called what was called a healing technician. And we had healing rooms, which you're extremely familiar with. And we had healing rooms set up by Brother Hagin in our prayer and healing school. And so for 5 years, I spent time anywhere between 2 to 5 days a week, depending on how busy I was, going in and ministering to the sick. And so that vision you're talking about, when you say that, it just stirs my heart to talk real quickly about what Brother Hagin mentioned all the time. So Kenneth E. Hagin, when he started these healing rooms here at healing school, he was duplicating a shorter, smaller version of what John G. Lake did there in Spokane. And so I know you would love to hear that. So I was for 5 years part of that healing team. We called ourselves healing technicians, or Brother Hagin named us that. So Brother Hagin would teach us to minister to the sick out of the spirit of seeing and knowing. Now, when you read Ephesians, the first chapter, you know, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, he said, I pray thy whole father, you know, I pray that the Lord would give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, not these, the eyes of your understanding, that they would be enlightened. That means that they would be flooded with light so that you can see. So the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know three things: the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of power to those of us who believe. So when you dig into those three things he wanted us to see, it's all wrapped up in there. All the riches of who we are in Christ. You know, the plan and the purpose of God is wrapped up in those three things, and the power of God to be operating to us and through us. So we began to minister to the sick out of the spirit of seeing and knowing. Mm-hmm. And not trying to come up with a new doctrine. It's just basically the vision you're talking about. The Spirit of God is the one that opens up people's eyes, the eyes of their understanding, so that they can see what's really been going on in the dark shadows of this nation. And I have to tell you, Pastor, I have the Holy Ghost is coming on me right now. Father, we just thank you. Namiso, niso, tanga siklami entamakasu.
And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you for Matt. I thank you for his church. And Lord, I thank you for Spokane. And Father, I see that there's a flood. Yes. See, it's not going to be, it's not going to be ankle deep, Matt. No, it's not going to be knee deep. No, it's not going to be waist deep, says the Lord. The rain is going to fall, and it's going to fall, and it's going to fall. And you'll look down the streets of your city, and you won't even at sometimes be able to see a homeless person because they've all been touched by the hand of God.
Amen.
And have walked
Amen.
Into the fullness that he has for them. But it'll not be waist deep, says the Lord. It'll not even be chest deep. It will be on up deep. That flood of his glory, that flood of his presence will be so much deeper than their head. And it will be so deep in your city, Pastor Matt, that there'll be an ark. There'll be an ark, for the flood is coming and the rain is coming. And so your church is an ark, and the ministry and the things you've set in place are those of what we used to say as the full gospel. Oh, the full gospel is not talking about much today, says the Lord. Oh, but my man, Matt, my pastor there, he knows the full gospel. He knows the seven mountains. He knows how the word of the Lord was specifically designed to reach every aspect in this earth. So there's an ark, there's an ark, there's an ark, there's an ark, there's an ark being built in your church. There's an ark to call them in before the great doors are shut. Ah, and the catching away of the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We receive that.
That's okay.
In Jesus' name. Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah. Praise God. That is awesome. Yeah. We've got about 2 minutes left.
So
in the last 2 minutes we've got left, Marty, if you could. Whatever else the Lord's putting on your heart, we're not going to restrain the Holy Spirit. And where can people go to learn more about loudmouth prayer?
Yes, sir. So people, we would love for you to come to loudmouth.org. What we found traveling with the Patriots, because a lot of people are like, what are you doing? You're Christians, you're ministers, and you're going out in the world. Hello, McFly, what do you think we're supposed to be doing? You know, we'll show up at these conferences, and they'll have from 400 to 1,100 people get saved in one altar call. There'll be 3,000 people, and one third of the people will stand up for the first time and receive Christ. These people have not been going to church. And if they were going to church 3 or 4 years ago, COVID got them set out of it. And so there's this great move of what's happening in the body of Christ, that the Patriots are coming and they're beginning to be awakened to what God wants to do. And that's where we come in with loudmouth prayer. We want to teach these people the simplicity and the powerfulness of prayer. So we're just loudmouthprayer.org. You would go there and you'd click at the top. It says start praying today. When you click on that, it just gives me a little bit of your information where I begin to send you our prophetic emails and all of our videos. You begin to receive our videos praying for the lost. I just did one at 9:30 last night of how to pray for President Trump. I'm doing videos of how to pray for the nation. And they're short. They're 5 to 7, teaching people how to pray. Because when you pray in this earth, it unleashes God to be able to do what he does best.
So good, Marty. So good. Oh, that is such a blessing. Thank you. Travis was blessed over here too. He was praying with us. So this is awesome. We want to have you on again. We look forward to seeing you here coming up at the Reawaken America Tour. God bless you. Keep up the fight.
God bless you, Pastor. See you soon.
All right. Marty Grisham, Reverend Marty Grisham, loudmouthprayer.org, loudmouthprayer.org. Check it out. You just heard that. Prophecy right live on air. I love it. This is so awesome. And the power of the Holy Spirit is moving like this. This is just a little tiny taste. This is just a little foreshadow of what is about to happen here in America. Now, always remember the great apostasy is commensurate with great awakening. They're not either or. You have great trial at the same time. You have great victory. So we're in a time where, there may be some trial, but there is great victory right now. We walk in that victory in Jesus Christ. We walk covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, wherever he's going to call us to shine that light in. And right now, more than ever, Spokane, Washington, and this entire country and around the world need the light of Jesus Christ to be shown in, and us to get off the couch, get involved, and get active. This is so awesome. Reawaken America Tour coming here to Spokane, Washington, 16, 17 September. Also coming up, 8, 9, and 10 September, Dr. Manuel Ziga's Leadership Conference right downtown Spokane at the Convention Center. Andre Shapoval from Flame of Fire Ministries, also Misha Femenko, who some of you have heard before. If you've not heard of these guys, Andre is the one who we ministered with over in Ethiopia. He had a huge, it was tens of thousands, and brought peace to that area of Ethiopia, just a huge transformation of the Lord. Two warring Christian factions came together, worshiped, praised the Lord, and all of a sudden peace enters that area, and that peace is held to this day. That was back in 2018. Andre Shapoval's got a fantastic ministry with Flame of Fire and wants to bring that fire to Spokane, Washington. So 8, 9, 10 September, Dr. Manuel Ziga's conference right here in downtown Spokane at the Convention Center. And we're still seeing, praying about Dutch Sheets. So we're praying about that still. So right now, I want to talk about one other event coming up. And I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and that is this Sunday, 6 p.m. at the Pavilion in Riverfront Park here in downtown Spokane. Sean Foyt and Let Us Worship coming. There's going to be a huge ignition for Spokane, Washington this Sunday, followed up in only a few weeks with this conference with Dr. Ziga, and then followed right the next weekend with the Reawaken America tour. And that's not all. We have more speakers coming to Spokane, Washington, among them Charlie Kirk, October 29th out at Valley Assembly, and we've got Bill Federer coming too. Just got that connected, Travis, coming in December. So we have a lot coming up, and all of this is to build up, equip, send out the body of Christ, and transform culture, not be transformed by it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and he is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.